Founded in 1729, Arlington Street continues today as a gathering place for progressive people of faith in the greater Boston area and beyond. We are located at the corner of Arlington and Boylston Streets, across from the Public Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.
Growing up, I always struggled with history, or what we called in schools, social studies. Unlike my dad, who loved studying the past, I couldn't hold on to the stories, names, and events. And I often asked myself, why do we keep looking backward when we should be going forward, improving, and growing? I'm sure many of you are familiar with the idea that studying history ensures that we will not repeat our mistakes. But this motivation for examining the past always felt frustrating to my younger self. It seemed obvious that we wouldn't repeat past atrocities and that we should focus our attention on the future instead. But when I encountered Mark Twain's words, "History doesn't repeat itself, but it often rhymes," I slowly began to make sense of why the past might matter to us in the now. The rhyming of history may not refer only to cycles of human violence. We can also lean into our cycles of care, community, gratitude, and resilience. Rather than simply avoiding repeating the harm in our history, we can explore the wisdom of the past to reignite our imagination for a more sustainable future. I've encountered many writers, advocates, spiritual leaders, and artists whose ideas have shaped my understanding of a future informed by the past. And I want to share some of those people and ideas with you today. Right now, we are experiencing a time of doubt and despair. To approach a sustainable future, we need each other, and we need wisdom. Wisdom that is centuries old deep and rooted in our collective memory. Beyond the systems of capitalism and colonialism that harm us all. To uncover the wisdom of the past, we need to practice deep remembering. Deep memories lie below the surface of what we normally remember about an event, an emotion, or a person. They even stretch beyond the personal memories of our lives into the memories of generations into the past, and far beyond the stories our mainstream society has written down and fed to us. I first started to understand the power of deep remembering when listening to Jesse Wente, an Anishinaabe Ojibwe father, husband, writer, and arts administrator, who spoke at Imagining 2080, a forum on Canada's future. Wente speaks of his maternal great-grandparents and their efforts to preserve their culture and survive the extinction of their people at the hands of the colonial powers. They reluctantly yielded to the Catholic Church's demands to take their children to boarding schools, and yet they also managed to keep their youngest child at home. Many Indigenous families did the same. The children who attended the schools would learn things in order to bring them back and strengthen the community's ability to survive the changing world, while the ones at home would preserve the language, the stories, the ceremonies, the knowledge. By combining the new and old ways, many Indigenous peoples survived apocalypse. As Wente puts it, First Nations people are proof that cultures can endure the most systemic of ongoing attacks and not just survive, but begin to thrive again. We are evidence of the power of memory and remembering, as that is both what preserved us and now what we must preserve. Wente offers hope for the future. But this is not a vision of the future that requires a clean break from the present and our past. Instead, he shows us how we may delve even further back into our memory to find the tools needed to build the future we want. I know that many of us feel right now that we are regressing. For years, we seem to be building a better world. Legislative and social changes that supposedly represented our movement toward increased rights, acceptance, and equality. And yet, today, our nation and our world is crumbling into violence, greed, and distrust. The reason for that is this: working within a system whose foundations are colonialization, enslavement, patriarchy, and capitalism, we cannot hope to build a truly sustainable future that is removed from those systems, those harmful and violent systems. And those with power know this. In order to maintain their power, those that benefit from a world built on violence and injustice do all that they can to conceal the deep past from our view, from our stories, from our art. And so we must uncover those concealed stories, not just to engage with them intellectually, but to embody their truths, because our bodies know how to hold memory, deep memory. I admit, at first, I felt a loss for how to deeply remember. My knowledge of my family's history extends only a few generations back, and I've been spoon-fed the colonial canon of history and art. But I am nevertheless motivated to continue exploring the deep past, because I know that in order to oppress us in the way they do, our modern systems rely on us forgetting memories of before their time. As Wente reminds us, the solutions to the systemic issues we face lie beyond the systems that created them. Until recently, I felt very trapped in the Western concept of linear time, moving endlessly onward and upward, leaving the past behind. But this is not the only understanding of time available to us, nor is it the most helpful or accurate, really. The Nigerian-American playwright Mfoni Suodofia talked about her play, Run Boy Run, that explores childhood trauma and its lasting impact, articulates a non-linear understanding of time. Inside Ibibio culture, time is not as linear. Past, present, and future could potentially occur at once, simultaneously, concurrently. When you are talking to somebody who's been through something awful, although you speak to them and see them in the present tense, they might be reliving something from their past. Their body may also be trying to anchor out into the future, past the present that they are in, which is so dominated by the past. I think we all have experienced memories that resurface so vividly that they seem to disrupt our understanding of linear time. In art, we can see the interconnectedness of past, present, and future, and find deeper understanding of our present selves. The Vietnamese-American poet Ocean Vuong questions modern myths about human time. We've fallen into this capitalistic myth that human knowledge and wisdom and ethics and morals are exponentially growing alongside technology. But they can't, simply because of the fact that we die. People die and they lose the things that they know. Next year, the child born this year will have to experience a grapefruit for the first time, experience love, go on to experience loss, lose their pet, lose their mother. We live in a world that appears to advance every day, acquiring new knowledge and new technologies at mind-blowing speeds. We move rapidly from old versions to new versions, replacing and discarding in the name of growth and success. That pattern has shaped how we have treated our natural world, discarding ancient resources and ecosystems for our new systems of exploitation. And we do the same to our human ancestry. Human life moves in cycles, not in a straight line. We are born, we grow, we learn and experience, and then we die, leaving the next generation to live the same cycle for themselves. Patterns are created and experiences are shared, but as Vuong reminds us, each person has to experience life for themselves. This inevitable impermanence is why we need art and stories to share the next generation what it is to be human. Studying history is not simply to avoid repeating mistakes, as I once believed in my social studies classes. Looking into the past is a way of remembering and thereby realizing our shared humanity, our cycles, and our interconnectedness to all beings. Looking to the past for guidance does not necessarily require us to replicate the exact systems of our ancestors. The deep blood memory that Jesse Wente encourages us to tap into is rooted in remembering and reconnecting with our human culture, how we dance, how we tell stories, and our perspectives and understandings of the world. For example, a cultural mindset of gratitude could help us transcend our destructive economic systems as we step into the future. For the chalice lighting, I shared the Haudenosaunee Thanksgiving Address, which is known in the Onondaga language as words that come before all else. The Haudenosaunee open and close every social and religious meeting with the Thanksgiving Address, not as a prayer, but as an invocation and an offering of greetings and thanks to the natural world. Words of gratitude orient our relationship to the world. The Thanksgiving Address teaches us mutual respect, love, conservation, generosity, and responsibility to each other and to all beings on whom our lives depend. Cultural mindsets of gratitude show up throughout many ancestral lines. I can find Thanksgiving within some of the Mennonite and UU hymns I've learned. For example, for the beauty of the earth, we give thanks for this precious day. I believe that those ancient values are essential to our vision of the future. To relearn and practice them is part of the work of deep remembering. Robin Wall Kimmerer, a mother, scientist, member of the Citizen Potawatomi Nation, and author of Braiding Sweetgrass, argues that gratitude reaches far beyond the systems of capitalism of our present and recent past, saying, "While expressing gratitude seems innocent enough, it is a revolutionary idea. In a consumer society, contentment is a radical proposition. Recognizing abundance rather than scarcity undermines an economy that thrives by creating unmet desires. Gratitude cultivates an ethic of fullness, but the economy needs emptiness. The Thanksgiving Address reminds you that you already have everything you need." In my personal efforts to deeply remember, I have listened intently to my family's stories my parents share. Even though these stories extend only one or two generations back, they are part of the path to retracing the steps of my ancestors and recollecting the values I want to bring into the future. Part of my deep remembering comes through experiencing the spirit of my ancestors. For the winter solstice this past year, I attended a singing circle. I spent several hours singing, humming, breathing, dancing, laughing, and crying with a room full of 80 strangers. Throughout the night, we were formed in a giant staggered circle around candles in the center, which was our replacement for a campfire. After an hour of connecting through improvised song and sounds, I began to feel at home among these strangers. During one of our final activities, we were given melodic lines to sing by our facilitator. Eventually, we were encouraged to improvise and find new melodic lines that felt right, listening to ourselves and the people around us. Then we were encouraged to cross the circle with a friend or two. The room was filled with our living and breathing music, and I could barely distinguish between the vibrations I was making and those from others. We were a sea of moving bodies. Across from me, I noticed two people holding hands dance their way across the circle around our campfire candles. One was a tall young person, the other was a short, older person. As I watched them, smiling and singing, a deep memory welled up within me like a giant flood. It overflowed, and tears spilled out of my eyes, forcing me to take deep, sobbing breaths as I tried to continue singing. I cannot fully describe what the memory was, sort of like describing a dream. The details and characters are blurry because they are not my own memories. What I know is that I felt a spiritual trust for my singing neighbors, whose names I didn't even know. I saw the unmistakable magic of multiple generations gathering together to share stories, to guide each other, to learn from each other. In that circle, I felt my most ancient ancestors, whose ceremonies of dancing and singing brought them together during the changing of the seasons. I know that some of those most recent ancestors were Anabaptists, Mennonites, whose theology threatened the Protestant and Catholic churches and led to fatal violence. They fled to the lands which we now call Canada and the United States with very little. I recall their four-part a cappella singing in close circles whenever I sing in a choir or with another person. And that is only the ancestry that is readily available to me in archives and family stories, only part of the story of where I come from. Today, my dad and my mom are singing alongside me as a direct line to those ancestors, as my teachers and my guardians. My mom and my dad hold more stories and wisdoms and memories of the past within them than I can alone. I cannot tell you how to deeply remember, but I can say that the feeling of deeper memory I experienced at that singing circle made me see a vision of the world that can be possible again. To make community, not individualism, the central value of this world. And in order to cover the ways and stories of our deep past to create a future, we need each other. It's not going to be easy. And transformation takes a really long time. But we have teachers all around us. And just as there was a time before these systems, there will be a time after them. Thank you. And now for our benediction, I invite you to put your hands over your heart center. The words of Robin Wall Kimmerer from Braiding Sweetgrass. Imagine walking through a richly inhabited world of birch people, bear people, rock people, beings we think of and therefore speak of as persons worthy of our respect, of inclusion in a peopled world. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the access we would have to different perspectives, the things we might see through other eyes, the wisdom that surrounds us. We don't have to figure everything out by ourselves. There are intelligences other than our own, teachers all around us. Imagine how much less lonely the world could be. Let us keep this faith, beloveds, and pass it on. The service begins when the service ends. Bless your hearts. I love you. Thank you.
We are located at the corner of Arlington and Boylston Streets, across from the Public Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.